Our workshop is on priorities, the use of our time, being more effective with it, and making better choices with our time. How many of you got that mastered already in the room? You have it mastered already. Good. We're all in the same boat. And wonderful. I tell you, it's a tough thing because it seems like we are so busy today. How many of you have said, I wish the day was longer? Yeah. Or I need more hours in the day. Yeah. Okay. It's me more tired, huh? All right, let's pray and get started. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to share together. Thank you, God, for this room full of people who love you. And I pray, God, that through our collective input, God, that we will learn something and we'll be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, they said that as workshop leaders, we should try to get you guys engaged to talk and to ask questions. So do that. If you ask a question, I will probably repeat the question. That's not because I'm hard of hearing, but because I have the mic. I want to make sure that they pick up the question so people who hear it will say, why are you talking about that? All of a sudden, he was saying something else, and now he's talking about this. But they hear the question. I'll repeat your question and then try to answer the question or have somebody else to answer the question in the room. The more you talk and ask questions, then the less I'll have to lecture you. You may not even get through all of this handout. Hey, who knows? We're going to flow with this and see what we can get out of this. First thing we'll talk about, time is a gift. So the gift of time. Some of you raised your hand and asked a question, who have said, need more time in the day, which is more hours of the day. Everything God created, we go back to Genesis, each time he created something, he said what? It is good. And that word good means that it will accomplish what it was intended to accomplish. So when he created the trees and all of that, he created sun, the moon, star, he said it is good that it will accomplish all that God intended for it to accomplish. Therefore, when God created a 24-hour day, he said it is good. It is sufficient to do everything necessary to be done. So we cannot go to God and say, God, is there some way you can increase today? God said, no, it is good. It is sufficient to accomplish all that needs to be accomplished within that time frame. Therefore, the issue is never a lack of time. What did I just say? It's never a lack of time. However, what is it? Lack of proper planning and prioritizing and execution. So our focus pretty much is going to be on the prioritizing. What are our priorities? You got to accept the fact that you are given a level playing field of 24 hours in each day. Time is a gift from God. So we must endeavor to serve and please him with every minute and second he has given us. What's going to take for this to happen, it's going to take a mindset shift. It's going to take a paradigm shift. We need a mind shift in order to start taking responsibilities for our actions. Our mindset determines our behavior. Our mindset determines our behavior. We must have a value mindset. As a matter of fact, Tom mentioned that in his message this morning about values. So we must have a value mindset as described by Paul in Colossians, the third chapter, verse 23. Who knows that one? Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. It says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And a lot of times our time gets messed up because often we are trying to please somebody, please men, and forget about we ultimately should be pleasing God. And so how many of you have gotten twisted or into a bag, something you're trying to get out of because somebody talked you into it? Someone talked you into it. And maybe at the time it sounded good. You don't have to raise your hand on this. How many of you say yes too easily? You don't have to raise your hand on that one. Yeah, you just, you know, come on, yes. And then you go, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. And then we're struggling over the time issue now because we forgot about it. We had all these other things to accomplish. And my buddy said, do this. And I said, yes. Now I'm trying to bring all this together. But we got to do all that we do it as unto the Lord and not to men. All right. So let's move on. So we said time is a gift. And when God gave us time, he said it is good and that it is sufficient to accomplish all that it is intended to accomplish within that time frame. So now we have to seek God's timing. So next thing is discerning timing. What to do and when to do it. Will someone find Ecclesiastes and read verses 1 through 8 when you get it? Because we have to discover God's timing. The secret to peace with God is to discover, accept, and appreciate God's perfect timing. Who's going to read Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, verses 1 through 8? Come on. I'm staying here closely, Clay, so maybe they come through the mic.
There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. Time to be silent and a time to speak. Time to love and a time to hate. Time for war and a time for peace.
Thank you. There's a time for everything. But if you look very closely at it, we see that in verse 1, there's a purpose. Time is assigned to purpose. Time is assigned to purpose. So if we want to execute well and use our time wisely, then we need to understand the purpose for everything. Because time is assigned to purpose. Let's talk a few minutes, since I have such a room of bright people. How does that work out for us? How can you see that working as far as time being assigned to purpose? Therefore, we must understand purpose so that we can maximize our time. How does that work out in your mind, Amos?
Just one example I can think of with time would be if I'm studying for like my finals or my test, to schedule out my study time so that I'm not studying at the last minute, like the night before the final, because for me that never works. So I always budget where that last day before the final, all I'm doing is resting and getting ready for it.
Okay, all right, understanding the purpose and allocating the time properly. Good, thank you, Amos. Nathan won.
I was thinking if you're wasting time, you can think to yourself, what is the purpose of this time? Like, why was I given this time?
Okay, if you're wasting time, then ask the question, what's the purpose of this time? Why do you understand, why am I wasting time? Because there's no purpose to what I was just doing. Good. Shelby.
For me, with my season of life right now, what it means is making sure that I actually get up early in the morning so that I can spend time with the Lord. Yeah. Instead of being like, I could roll over for a few more minutes, it's called no, me me get up, you need to spend time with Jesus. And it's making sure that I do that, because I start work at 11, and trust me, if I had it my way, I'd sleep until 10:30. But I know that I can't do that, and I know that that is not a good use of my time.
Yes.
So there are people that I meet with, and I meet with them at 7:30 in the morning, and you know what? That's okay. It's good. It is well vessel.
Good. Okay, so she said that early time morning with the Lord, and not to hit the snooze button. How many know every time you snooze, you lose? All right. Anyone else want to make a comment? Yes.
I think when you assign time, or time, when time is assigned with purpose, you just spend it intentionally.
Yes, you spend your time intentionally and not just in the wind. Whatever strong wind comes, you blow on that way. Intentional. Yes.
Yeah,
help.
Very good. Yeah, so along the same lines as what she was saying, like, maybe I do have a problem with saying yes to, like, whatever. It sounds like a good opportunity. Like, I thought about it. It sounds exciting. I'd like to do that. So, but instead of doing that, maybe be more intentional with how I schedule my time.
Yes.
Instead of being overwhelmed with all these things that I've agreed to. So maybe pray before I say yes.
Yes.
To help him to direct my purpose.
Good. Very good. Yes, Roger.
I was just going to say, this is something, being a professional, that when somebody asks you to do something, try to say, let me get back to you on that. Let me check my calendar. Let me check my schedule. And it's okay not to say yes right away. I promise.
Yes. We're good. So buy yourself some time. And kind of like I say, make that your statement that you always use.
Always.
Yes. Buy you some time. Well, let me get back with you. Let me pray about that. Get back with you. You may pretty much feel what you don't answer is right then, but still say that. Buy you some time, and then sometimes our emotions may be high, and we say things out of emotional charge, and then when the emotions go down, you be like. Okay. We must differentiate between the urgent and the important. From perspective of a pastor, people are always trying to fill my life with their urgent needs because they fail to understand the purpose of things and prioritize. Now, through their neglect, they have an urgent situation. This is not a financial class, but they failed to budget their money. And so now the lights are threatening to be cut off Monday morning. So Sunday they approach me and say, can you do something? Because lights going to be cut off tomorrow. Differentiate between what? The urgent and the important. We should focus our time and energy on what? The important things. Not the urgent things. Because the urgent is fleeting, and the important is lasting. The important things are what last. All right, let's look at effectiveness versus busyness. Effectiveness versus busyness. And let me tell you right off the bat, there was a long time when I thought being busy was great. I'm just busy doing stuff. And I found out that I had some diminishing returns on all that busyness. Just busy. So we got to work on being more what? Effective. Effectiveness is having a definite or desired effect. It is productivity with minimum waste. Minimum waste. Effectiveness is employing your full potential to glorify Jesus Christ. If we anchor that to the center of everything, that how do I glorify Jesus? It will cut down some television time. It'll cut down some game time. You know, I had to make a decision. I will only try to catch the fourth quarter of most football games now, because otherwise I found myself being addicted. And on Saturday, You can start at 11:30 in the morning and go to a 10 o'clock at night watching football games.
Two in the morning.
Mm-hmm. I could not apply my time. Like, I got to preach on Sunday morning. So how do I glorify Jesus, be more effective? That's effectiveness. What is busyness? Being consumed with doing a lot of things.
But that's what they are. It's things.
Keeping busy. Full of activity. Characterized by much action or motion. Moving a lot.
By doing nothing.
Moving a lot, a lot of motion. But what are the rewards? Or as Thompson, what would be the fruit? Mm. What would be the fruit? Let's go to Luke 10. 38 through 42. You have it? Okay. Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. Go ahead and read.
Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, just thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.
Who can give us a little character sketch of Martha? What do you think about Martha? Who can give us a little character sketch of Martha? Megan?
Just think.
She's keeping the house. She's got to take care of all the kids. She's got to make sure everybody has food. She's got to do the laundry. She's got to do everything. And so she's ticked off because her sister?
Her sister, yeah.
She's over there sitting down doing nothing.
Sitting down.
Please see her.
You can see Martha. Yeah. Anyone else? Talk about Martha when we get to Mary. Martha.
I feel like Martha is like Pinterest perfect. Like she wants to do things perfectly and have everything in order for
Jesus. Yes. And how many have been guilty thinking that it's all about working for Jesus? Mm. Yeah. That ought to please. I'm working for Jesus, working with Jesus. And miss the more important thing. And so Martha seems to be carried away with all of these things. And Jesus has to remind her. She was task-oriented. And she's distracted by all these things that she's trying to get done and finish. She gets an attitude, but her attitude is not just with her sister Mary. Also with Jesus. Don't you see how busy I am, and she's doing nothing, just sitting here? You ought to make her get up. Make her get busy. So she had to deal with her sister and with Jesus. She's distracted with all her preparations, and Mary on the other side, how do you characterize her? The sister Mary, what do you think about her?
She has her eyes set on
what is important. She understands the moment that Jesus is here, and the most valuable thing I do in my time right now is what? To sit at his feet. Jesus reminds Martha of the need for right priorities. Martha, here you are all over the place. You know, I think the Amplified says that she was busy and distracted. She was busy and distracted. And so he had to remind her the need for right priorities. For each of us. Sorry, who is it?
Oh, I think that's really easy to do in everyday life. Because, I mean, like, the laundry is always going to be there. There's always going to be something on the floor. There's always going to be a lunch that has to be made, or, you know, of something that has to be done.
Yes.
There's always something that has to be done, but if you are focused on all those little things, then you miss out on what's really going to, like, you miss out on what's really happening during the day. There are really important moments in life sometimes.
Rachel's saying that all those things will always be there. Don't let those things cause you to lose focus on what is the most important thing. And sometimes we have to stop and ask some questions. Or sometimes you have to be careful. I know for me, I have to be careful not to answer the phone too early in the morning, because usually once you answer the phone, somebody's saying something, requesting something, talking about something, and before you know it, your feet are busy. And there you go. Trying to get some things done. So we have to stop and think. Next point we had is identify and understand your main priority in each situation. Identify it. Understand what is your main priority in each situation. Unlike Martha, we must be willing to rearrange your schedule and activities to keep the main thing the main thing. Y'all said the laundry would be there, the cleaning would be there, those things. And Martha saying, listen, I'm not rearranging my schedule. These things have to be done. I'm going to do these things. But sometimes you'll be willing to rearrange your schedule to keep what? The main thing. And that is going to require an intimate walk with Jesus. An intimate walk with Jesus, because the world system will keep us busy. We follow that, you know, it's like, you know, you got to do all these things. The intimate walk with Jesus will cause us to slow down at times. The intimate walk with Jesus will cause us to appreciate the more important things. And sometimes the more important thing could be obscure at the moment. All this busy stuff going on all around us, the more important thing could be obscure. I mean, you're going to take time and go pray when everybody's talking about this major project needs to be done, and needs to be done now. But now, the more important thing is for me to go what? And pray. And then we get back to the project, because it's going to be there. Any questions or comments? Yes, Shelby.
What comes to mind is from last year's NAB conference when Skip Gray spoke. He said something that's stuck with me ever since. He said, Jesus was the 3-mile-an-hour God.
3 mile an hour. Wow.
Slow down. And I know that I'm so good at that. So just, I love that.
I know the way some people in this room drive, not going to call any names. 3 miles an hour.
He would be irking nerves.
Yes, he slowed down. It was a slow paced life for him. Very good. Listen, if Satan is hindering Christians from reaching their full potential in three areas. One, he is keeping Christians too tired and self assured to pray. Too tired and self-assured to pray. Number two, he is keeping Christians too in debt to consistently give tithes and offerings. Lord knows my heart. I just got to take care of this first, and you know. Number three, he is keeping Christians too busy in church activities to really focus on making disciples of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, when I was a teenager growing up in church in Tulsa, we met on Wednesday night for what we called purity class in Boys League. We met on Thursday for a meeting. We had Friday church service, and then we had choir rehearsal on Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday morning and Sunday evening, what we call the YPWW, before the evening worship service. Now, on Sunday, you got to understand that each one of those worship
experiences lasted, you know, about 3 hours. So you go in the morning, you know, 11 o'clock, you were getting out 2. You go in the evening, you go at 6:30, and you're getting out at 9:30. And then we had, like I said, all the Wednesday, the Thursday, and then somebody say, oh, you know what, we need to have a meeting because of something's coming up in the future, so let's meet on Tuesday. And so all these church activities going on, and sometimes you get caught up in those things and forget about the real focus should be making disciples or becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about some of the issues that we have with effectiveness. What are some of the time consumers, things that can consume our time? In your handout, what do we have?
Cell phone, internet, email.
Cell phone, internet, email. There are approximately 327 million 577,529 cell phone users today. Listen, as of April 2014, before the iPhone 6 came out. I'm sure that spiked a little bit since then. That many cell phone users. We use it everywhere. See folk walking down a busy street, cell phone up, they're talking. Sitting on the bench waiting for the bus to come, phone up to the end, talking. Driving on the cell phone. This morning, I got on I-35 from the south side. This person in front of me took the next on-ramp onto the I-35. And I'm thinking, well, and driving like 45. So if I go around this person, look, cell phone in the hand, and they're just talking and just cruising and just talking on that cell phone. Well, we're driving at the movies, in the airport, on the airplane. You ever sat on the airplane and just, well, you have to not be doing this to notice everybody else, okay? And just watch, as soon as that plane lands, everybody pull the phone out. Cell phone. So wherever we possibly can, we're on the cell phone. Yes, it's wonderful to be connected with people through cell phone and texting, but it's also adds to our busyness. We use the phone when we ought to be resting. I have a school. Some mornings, we're trying to do a lesson, and the kids just slump back in the seat. I put the head on the desk, I knock on the desk, no sleeping, no sleeping. Pastor, you don't know what time I went to sleep. What time you go to sleep? It was 1 o'clock. Why were you up so late? I was on my phone. On the phone, when you should be resting or reflecting and investing time with God. Your challenge would be, how much time can you curb off of your cell phone usage and spend with God? That's your challenge. That's your cost of admission being in this workshop. How much time can you curb off of your cell phone usage that you can now invest with God? Think about that, okay? All right, the internet. The internet is what? Fast. And it makes possible for us to do research in a fraction of time that it used to take. When I was in school, they would tell us, do a research, go look at the encyclopedia. Yeah. How many of you have seen an encyclopedia, you young folk? Yeah? Okay.
We're people.
I had an old typewriter in my office.
I love typewriters.
One of the students looked at it and said, what is that?
Oh, my God. That's so sad.
What is that? That's a typewriter. You know, long before we were doing stuff on a computer, we had the typewriter. So the internet makes things really fast. Do all this research and everything. It could be a great tool for evangelism even. But it has a dark side. Mm-hmm. It has a seductive side. A lot of folks get on the internet and They're not doing research for educational purposes. They're on there doing some other things. So many people have difficulty limiting their time spent surfing the net. They're doing all those things, playing internet-based games. So you can sit there and you'd be surprised how much time passes when you're playing those games and doing those things that you're not even aware of. You think you only been there for a few minutes, but if you really track the time, yeah, it's been maybe hours. And so that's time that could be spent with God, some of that time. So the internet, although it is a blessing or it is a technology that is great, we have to not let it encroach upon our lives and take away from that time that we could be spending with God. Because some of that internet surfing and playing those games could be, somebody said, a meaningless time that has no purpose. That has no purpose. Emails, if you don't develop a way to handle to manage your email, your email will manage you. Do you get a lot of email in your work?
Oh, many times.
Yeah.
I get busy, get all kinds of stuff all the time. Although Facebook is probably a bigger problem for college students.
Yeah, I should have thought about that. Yeah. Social media. Facebook. What is it?
Yik-yak.
Say it again.
Yik-yak.
Explain it to us. You know, I'm 50 years old, so come on.
It's like Twitter, but it's anonymous.
Oh, really? Anonymous?
Yeah.
It is scary.
It's hilarious.
It is not.
So how many folk are aware of Yik-Yak? Whoa.
Okay. I didn't need to know.
But anyway, you have purpose. So in that, develop a way to handle your emails that you're not just spending all time opening up emails.
I just go through and I prioritize anything that has an exclamation point on it. It's the only thing I open up at first.
Okay. He has a way of prioritizing his emails. So he goes through, everything has an exclamation point where he opens up first.
Yeah. From probably five people. If it's from any of those five, that's the priority that I open up. Otherwise, I wait.
Right. You have to develop a priority system for your email. Pretty much if a person does not take the time to put something in the header, then I look at it as not important. So I may not open it right away. Because it may be just, and don't open any junk mail, spam mail, anything like that. And hardly somebody want to force something to me that was interesting and funny. Well, great, but I don't have time to just sit there and just open up all these things people want to forward to you. You know, so you got to manage that. Yes, Amos.
What I had to do with my email is I had to go to a system where if it's something that's quote-unquote urgent, I tell people all the time, if you need me to address this immediately, put the word urgent in the heading, because if it doesn't say urgent, I'm going to think, okay, this can wait until
right.
I have time to sit down and really deal with it.
Okay, good, yeah. All right, thank you, Amos. Let's talk about priorities. The most important thing in life is to know what you are supposed to do. That's the most important thing, is know what you're supposed to do. Any activities that we undertake consume our time, talents, effort, energy, and even life. The key to knowing what you should be doing, what you're supposed to do, is to apply the principle of priority. What is priority? Something that has a prior claim on us. That's a priority. Something that merits our primary attention. Something that receives our primary resources. Time is a resource. And something that has a right to supersede other things. That's a priority. All right, we got that? So here's your exercise now. Very quickly, it says write down your list of your top six priorities. Do that very quickly. Write down your, this is your top six priorities. Yeah, what they are right now. We're dealing with what they should be, but we, what are they now? Your top six priorities.
There's one thing that I was told by a mentor, that the need is not the calling.
The need is not the calling. Yes.
If you're always a yes person, I'm guiltier than probably most people, that was the biggest thing somebody spoke in my life, is that the need is not the calling. So you take your time to see if that's what God calls you to do, is that your strength to take that on.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Know what your calling is.
Very good, yes.
My relationship, a really good book for that is called, Building Your Mate's Self-Esteem. My husband read that while he was TDY, because when he was gone, I had to take care of everything, and he felt my pain, and he was trying to figure out how to best help me, and so he got this book from Dennis Rainey at a marriage retreat we went to, and it's How to Build Your Mate's Self-Esteem, and it talks about that, about setting priorities and not saying yes to everything and making sure that you're working in your strengths, but it's an excellent book.
Yes. In fact, if God is not simply moved by need, because if he responded to need, then there would be no need, because he would just been busy taking care of everybody's needs. But there's another priority that he has. Yes. Okay, we're going to talk about what you wrote down a little bit later. Just now you're writing down what they are as now. Then we're going to try to, before we end, try to come up with a good list of what they should be. Or at least get four good ones out of the group. All right? Well, what's going to help you in setting your priorities is purpose. Purpose. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where it says that God blessed man. He said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And in that verse is our scriptural assignment, that whatever we do, we should be fruitful and multiply. That's, your purpose can be found in that, or it should stem out of that. You must ask yourself several questions, such as, is this important? Look at what you're saying, yeah. Is this important? Or, if it is important, why? Why is it important? These questions will help you set your priorities. Philippians 3rd chapter, verse 14, what does it say? Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching those things which are before, I press toward mark prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had he was focused on purpose and priorities. He said, this one thing I do. So Paul had one purpose, and everything in his life flowed through that. When you understand purpose, we go back to Ecclesiastes. Time is what? Assigned to purpose. So when you understand purpose, then everything else should flow through that. When you understand your purpose, then everything that you encounter should flow through that. And also, it should filter through that. You begin to filter things out, because although that may be a good thing, it's not in line with my purpose. Therefore, I cannot invest my time and my life in that. So purpose helps to filter through those things. Otherwise, a lot of good things will be dumped on our plate. And we'll be, have you ever been guilty of, you've done a lot of good things over there, but then you get back and the main thing you should have been doing is still left undone. But it's been doing a lot of good things. So everything in Paul's life filtered through that, knowing his purpose, having that priority. This one thing I do.
One of the greatest challenges in Jesus' time and as well as in our time is the need to identify God's purpose for one's life, for your life. Identifying the purpose for your life. Once you find it, it will help you to focus on it. You focus on it, and then you have to disregard those things or ignore those things that will distract you and pull you in other directions. Distractions are always coming. Distractions. Sometimes you got to understand that some people may be planted around you just to be a distraction. Just to be a distraction. Shelby.
My question is, how do you find that purpose? I know that all of us are called to live for Christ, but each of us has different gifting, and each of us is built differently to do something different for God's kingdom. How do you find exactly what that is?
Okay. And we're going to ask you to hold that question. The question is, how do you find your purpose? And make a few more comments here, and we're going to talk about that, okay? How do you find your purpose? Matter of fact, one of the ways is the next point I have there is setting a life goal, God's purpose for your life. Matthew 6 and 10, Jesus was given the model prayer. He said that we should pray that his kingdom come and his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then in Matthew 6 and 33, it says, seek first the what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So our main goal then must be to find out and then do God's will. Find out and do God's will. Your life goal is your mission statement. It's your personal mission statement. Your life goal is your personal mission statement. You remember when Jesus came out of the wilderness, he'd been tempted how many days?
40 days.
40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness. When he came out, what did he do when he came out from that wilderness temptation? Where you look at Luke chapter 4, and down in verse 16 starts there, it said he went to the synagogue, the temple, as was customary. He went there and picked up the book where it was written in Isaiah, and he says, Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, recovery of sight to the blind, those things. What was he doing? He was stating his mission statement. His mission statement. Because later on, you remember, now who baptized Jesus? John, his cousin, baptized him in the Jordan. He came out of the Jordan, went to the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. Well, later on, remember when the pressure was on John, he's in prison. He told his disciples, listen, go ask Jesus this question. Are you the one, or shall we look for another? He baptized him. But now he got questions. Sometimes you will be questioned as to who you are. And I like Jesus' answer. He didn't say, tell him, I am the one. Yes, indeed, truly, truly, I am the one. He says, go tell him what you see and what you hear. That the blind eye being open, lame or walking. What are you saying? I'm being true to my mission statement. I am the one. I have deviated. My priority has been set. I know my purpose. I'm living true to my mission statement. You got to have that and stick to it. Again, how do we get there? Each believer is given the Great Commission to make disciples. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. That's your general mission. Each believer, every believer has that as a general mission to make disciples. But you also have a personal life goal or mission as part of the Great Commission. And Ephesians 2 and 10 tells us that God really
created that for us, or prepared that for us before he even created us. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he beforehand had prepared for us to do. So God has prepared it for you. You're not trying to invent it. You need to spend some intimate time with God that he may what? Reveal it to you. The personal life goal is ongoing. To seize your personal life goal, your purpose, you need to be ready to do what God asks you to do. Start looking at a pattern of what's happening in your life. What are you doing? What does God ask you to do? Or what are you passionate about? And you start seeing some things that seem to keep happening that could be a clue to your purpose. It's not out there somewhere as a mystery. Usually it's so close to us that we're hidden by it. We're blinded to it because we're looking for something. For instance, I thought to become a preacher, I had to hear thunder roar and lightning was going to flash. And God goes to me, my son, I say unto thee, I have called thee to preach the gospel. It didn't happen like that. But I looked back when I was in college. I was president director of the gospel choir that we started on choir. I was president of the African American Student Union. The university created at UCO, they created an office called the Black Peer Counselors. And I was a black peer counselor. So all the students, even though I'm a student, they would come to me and bring their problems. What was God doing? Preparing me to shepherd, the pastor. And those things that, as a college student, I thought, you know, there's something to do. You know, something to do. But no, it was part of my purpose. So look at those things that's happening around you. And God, be sensitive of his leading, what he asks you to do. Do those things. Here's the thing. If you ever ask the question, will God use me or I want God to use me, here's a key. If God ever asks you to do anything, do a good job with it. He always comes back to you. That's key to constantly being used by God. If he ever gives you one thing to do, you do a good job with it, he'll come back to you. Don't weigh it. Say, well, you know what? This is not that big. I'm waiting for the big thing. What's the big picture here, God? If he ever gives you anything to do, do a good job with it, and God will come back to you. That make sense to anybody? Mm-hmm. All right. So be alert to what God is doing in your life and work with him in those areas. Be alert to what God asks you to do and do it. God will equip you to do that he is purpose for you to do in your life. Sometimes you might not see it. It's coming over time. But just trust him. Don't look at your gifts. Look at God. Okay? All right, because of time, I'm going to skip a couple of things here. You got setting goals. You have examples of how Jesus prioritized his time. Let's evaluate our current priorities. Let's evaluate our current priorities. What purposes do you need to take hold of? Going back to Paul saying that he said he wanted to lay hold of those things which God had taken hold of him for. So what are those things you need to take hold of? Professionally, personally, spiritually. And then how do your current priorities line up with them? Do you have a life goal already? Anybody have a life goal? Do you have a life goal? Anyone else with a life goal? Life goal. Begin to work on it. You don't have to know it right now. Begin to work on it. You just write down things. Don't try to make it sound good to you as you're writing it down. Just write down what comes to you. What are you passionate about? What do you find yourself doing? What do people recognize in you? Yes. Because that'll give you a clue right there. What do they keep coming to you for? People keep coming, man, I need some more advice, man. Give me some advice. They keep coming to you for that. Maybe that's a clue. Let's move on to this next section here is use selective neglect. How many know what that is? Selective neglect. There are going to be some times when you're going to disappoint someone. There's going to be some times we have to delay something. So selective neglect is saying we, through selective neglect, we first choose consciously to disappoint because of a more important existing priority. You choose that. I know that for me, do this important thing, I can't do that. So you choose to do that. Then we choose consciously to defer a specific task in order to complete another more important task that may not necessarily disappoint someone else. Yeah. Selective neglect. I encourage you to read over that again, get it where you can understand it, and start using it. Selective neglect. Some people, you know, hey, Ryan, I would love to go do that with you, but, man, I know it's important what you want to do there, but I got something else I'm doing. And so you know that by doing this, and a lot of parents, particularly working husbands, fathers, have forgotten the priority of family, and something come up, they say on the job, come do this. I know I told you I was going to take you to your game, but you know what? I'm going to do this. And then that child is hurt because I thought daddy was going to be with me. So you got to start using that to understand what's my priority here. What's my priority? Out of the next 7 minutes, we want to walk through this, some considerations before making a decision, okay? Some considerations before making a decision. The first thing is you got to understand or put in place some parameters. What are the parameters? They prescribe generic conditions that you do not influence, such as how do you determine what success is? Available time. We cannot influence that available time. It's what's there. And your attitude toward work. So very quickly, what is success? These four critical factors must be made before making a decision or considered. What is your definition of success? Is it the attainment of wealth, fame, and turning out well? This is a secular viewpoint of success. And as guys, we really get caught up in that. We work longer hours. We'll do all those things because what? I'll make more money. I get a chance to rack up a lot of overtime. So I'll do a 7-day work week. It'll make more money. And everybody at home should be happy because what? I'm bringing home the bacon. But you got to say, okay, what do you consider success? Success is an evolving process. It's a journey. Success is one to know Christ. Success is to be secure in who you are and who you are in Christ. And success is to be the best you can be, using your talents to the maximum degree possible for His glory. Then you got to answer the work. You know, how do you perform with right attitude? Your attitude toward work is fundamental because it is how you view the activity will determine how you're going to allocate your time. If it's important work, you put your time into it. Then you got your available time. It's fixed. You have all the time you need to do God's will. All right? And the fourth thing is today. Right now, all we have is today. So that means you got to act now. Do today what you can do. Don't put it off for tomorrow. Any professional procrastinators in the room?
We're under pressure.
Put that pressure on me. I'm ready to go. But yes. All right. Number two, priorities. Priorities define the order of relationships you should respect as you work towards your goals. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. So one of our major responsibilities is determining what is best for us according to our life purpose. Because a lot of things may be what? Good, may be permissible, but might not be the beneficial thing to do. Might be the right thing to do. All right? Let's go. What should be our top four priorities? Number one should be God. Without question. Number one should be God. Number two should be work. Should be work? That's a trick question. No. Should be family. Number two should be family. Who put church as number two? Nobody put church? You put church? Please do not equate church with God. A lot of people go to church who are not in God. You know what I'm saying? So don't make the two synonymous. Church, family, what should be number three, you think? Work or school? School is your work. Yep.
I put Jesus, my husband, myself, my family, education,
and
career.
Okay. Good. That's good. What else somebody have? Work?
Ministry.
Fourth one I would offer to you, relationships. Because how many times do we ruin relationships because they're not a priority to us? Yes. All right, number three on the four considerations, principles. Have some principles that you live by, that you don't govern everything by. Principles emphasize values to guide you in your daily task. Number four is process, using what I call the PAIR approach, P-E-A-R. P, plan. Plan for a specific period to achieve specific goals. Then develop a plan to reflect the steps needed to achieve the goal. Then E, estimate the time and cost needed to achieve this plan. Jesus says that, the word says that you ought to count up the cost. What is it going to cost you? What is it going to take you? Then A, act on the plan. And R, review and reflect on your progress. All right? Some questions to ask. How am I doing up to this point? How many resources have I used to this point? And whom would I have to disappoint so that I may stay on track? All right? Psalm 90, verse 12, ending with this. So teach us to number our days. Understand that we don't have time that we're going to live forever. So we got to what? Make the most of our time. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. All right. Is there a quick question or comment from anyone?
I just want to make a comment. When you're looking at what is your purpose in life,
yes.
Also, that is why being in the Word and spending your quiet time is so significant, because I think a lot of times you get busy and you think, you look around at everything that you're doing and you think, oh, I should do this, maybe that, or I should do that, or I should do that, but you never take time to be quiet and hear what God really wants to hear. To say to you regarding what your purpose is.
Amen.
So taking that time.
Very good. I should break it down and say, when you say God, if you don't want priority, we spend time with God through prayer, have a quiet time, reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures, memorizing the scriptures, those things that we talk about as navigators. But that's how you keep God as a priority. It's not just saying, some people say, oh, I know God. But how much time is being spent with him? All right? If no other questions or comments, then thank you for being here. It is lunchtime.